at my home, and they were singing about my Jesus. And when they were singing about the time, I thought June the 14th, 1964. Somebody taught me a verse that said that God loved the world so much that He gave His Son that if I would believe on Him, I could be born into the family of God. And when they're singing about heaven, I don't know what it's going to look like. Paul got carried up there one time and he said, I can't tell you what I heard. And I can't tell you what I've seen. But before he died, he said, it's far better. What he was saying was, hey, it's worth it to live for the Lord. I tell you, I wouldn't go back and swap life with nobody. I hope you're that way. I wouldn't trade preaching, Byron, for anything else either. It's some people get adrenaline rushes out of different ways. I remember old preacher Hill, they'd invited him to preach about a year ahead of time. He knew the schedule, and he got up and he said, the hour has come. And that's what he preached on. But I thought today, Toby, of the resurrection you did on my daughter's piano, sit down at the little church where they attend. And I want to say I'm glad for my family today and all of you that are here, my friends, my loved ones. I tell you, we are blessed, aren't we, to have friends. Somebody said if you can count them all on your fingers, you should feel fortunate. But I'm telling you, friends or something or another, if you really want them, just show yourself friendly. It don't take nothing extra. Christians, I want to tell you, don't wait on people to say hello. We ought to, when we're in a strange world, and I know that, but this is not our home. We're just passing through, but I want to make a difference, don't you, while I'm here. I want to be able to make a difference. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. I want to preach today on singing. I thought about, we used to call this all day singing and dinner on the ground. And usually it was the farmers bringing out an old wagon or something, and the stuff would be melted before you got out there to the wagon, you know, to eat off of it. And it'd come a storm. I remember one year it come a rain, and the banana pudding was so thin you'd had to drink it. But those were days that we were able to get together and worship the Lord. And He's the same today. I remember, Angela, the year whenever we had a youth conference when I was pastoring here. And our whole theme that year was now. Because Hebrews 1 says now faith. And that theme centered around not future faith or not past faith, but now faith. Now faith. And what it really is and what it's about. And as they were singing about my home and singing about Jesus, I thought how well the Lord does in putting sermons to preachers' hearts, because when Byron called me, he gave me this sermon, and I thought about, and I want to use four texts today. How shall we sing the Lord's song? Not our song. Jim Reeves used to sing a song about an old dog, and I'd cry. And some of the folks sang about the green, green grass of home, and I'd think about it and almost weep. But as I've gotten older, I realize that the dogs still are precious, and the grass is precious. But there's something more precious than this world and its contents. I've got my vision focused a little different, Brother Joyner. I thought about Earl and all of them, Sister Joyner, that we'll meet whenever we get there one day after a while. And somebody, when they said the homecoming, said, oh, we'll get to see Dolly. And then they said, all of a sudden, I realized, Dolly's done gone. She left this year. And a lot of them have left us one by one. But what a meeting that we'll have when we get there. Psalms 137. I'm going to read you about four or five verses here if I can. And by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hang their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing? And here's the sermon, the Lord's song. In a strange land, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. I thought about Brother Macy Adkins when I was studying for this sermon. He would get a new song book, and he wouldn't go to bed till he sung every song in that book. He wouldn't lay it down till he started at number one, and he sung every song. Charlotte's dad. And I thought he tried to teach me music, and I just really didn't get it. You're a double-barreled preacher, Byron, to be able to sing and preach. But I thought music was really something that was hard. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And I couldn't get it just right. But I want to ask you something today, looking at this scene. These folks are weeping because they probably know the words to the song. I had a brother, an older brother. You didn't have to worry when you were singing with him. If he missed the words, he'd just make them up. And somehow they'd go together, and they may even rhyme at times. But he'd just keep a going. And Macy was that type. He'd say, if you miss a note, you get the next note. Make sure you get the next note. But why is it that we can't sing the Lord's song at times? Is it the place? Let me remind you that this place is not a place they chose. By the way, I didn't choose for the world to be just like it is now either. That's not my choice. But it is. And they that are around us, the Bible said, you're the light of the world. You're you're to be able to be, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But what I really look for you to do is I look for you to sing my song. If you just flipped back one chapter, you would see what the Lord's song was at this given time. For it begun just as the song that they begun today to sing. It said, the Lord, for the Lord is good. I think we can all say that. And I tell you, if you can't sing about the Lord's goodness, when I met Him, I didn't really know how good He was. I've seen down through the years. I remember one time I used to live in the parsonage, and there were some prisoners got saved up the penal farm, and they wanted to use the baptistry. And so I excused myself that day and came over just so I could be in their service. But I'll never forget, they were lined up around this altar, and there was one that looked like that sin had drug him to the very bottom. And he said, I got a song I want to sing. And I thought, what's he going to request? And he said, Jesus loves me. When he requested that, and all those prisoners began to sing about the love of the Lord, I was reminded that's his song. It's about love. What the world needs is love. What they really could change their lives is love. But what is love? When we stop and we sing about it, sometimes authors get it all mixed up. But I want to tell you, the author of his song had the greatest love. He said, no greater love than this has a man, that he would lay down his life. His life. Isn't it wonderful that we have life because he gave it to us? I'd have done been dead and in hell if it hadn't been for Brother Brown standing and preaching to me the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how in the world does that originate? How does that song? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When they were singing about the gates, and my mind went back to this home that they were singing about was Jerusalem, and it said there was one gate that was the old gate, and I thought about that old gate. Sometimes we need to stop and seek out the old paths. And when we find them, to walk, ask for them and walk in them. If it worked for Pa Paul, if it worked for Brother Earl Joyner, it'll work for you. Did you know that? If the Lord blessed them with souls being saved. And I hear people say, well, preacher, why are we not seeing souls saved? I thought about the fish gate that was in Jerusalem. That was a place where, if you would just stop and think about it, the Lord called His children to be fishers of men. And what He wanted them to do was to go out there and win them and to get them for whatever cost that it might be. I thought about the Valley Gate of Jerusalem, how that we must humble our hearts. Why, I tell you, if God's people would just humble themselves and pray and seek His face instead of His hand. I tell you, look for His face. When I think of that, I think of His favor. I think, Lord, I want to seek Your face. I want You to say, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. When we've concluded our sacrifice that we are offering sometimes with the sheep gate of Jerusalem, I thought how that it was a place to remind us of the sacrifices that they offered up. And I'm thinking of Isaiah 53 when He said that there was one that would go and be a lamb that would be the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. And He said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The dung gate was a place where they swept out the debris. And I thought sometimes what really happens in our life and when we lose our song is that we allow something to get between us and God. And sometimes we just need to sweep it out and get rid of it. I grew up in a time when we had linoleum. That was the number one floor in the kitchen. And I'd never forget, we didn't have it glued down. It was just laid down. But if I had to sweep the kitchen, sometimes I'd cheat a little bit. If it's just a little bit of dirt, you can sweep it under the rug. But you know what Mother'd find it? And what I found is in life that so many times, if we don't get rid of it, it snowballs on us. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Don't ever go to bed at night without saying, Lord, forgive me. And you don't have to say if I have sinned, Lord. You can get specific if you want to with Him. He already knows. But sometimes we generalize and we say, Lord, just remove all the sin from our lives. Sometimes we just don't confess. There's a reason we don't. And we fail sometimes just to get in His presence, that route. And I thought a lot of times in our lives, the songs that they sung, all of them in this chapter prior in 136 ended with this: His mercy endureth forever. 26 times. You remember a publican and Pharisee that come up to church together and they got to the temple. And this is 7 to 34. Was what 34 words that the Pharisee uttered to God. He began it with God. And here stands an old sinner boy, and he just utters 7 little old words, and he says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know who went back to the house better, in better shape? Why, it ain't in words. Our song, you say, well, preacher, what is it? Is it words, the reason why we can't sing? No. I tell you, Gail, sometimes whenever I take her out to eat, she'll start singing when we almost get to the eating place. And I realize that there's something else that moves the heart, that stirs the soul. And sometimes that's what causes the song to come out. Sometimes we ought to sing more. I thought, growing up, with the family, if we got the Holy Spirit came down, you just sung. You might sing the same song over and over and over and over again. But souls would just keep being saved and born into the family of God. And what it is, it's not us. It's not the sometimes even the words. What happens? You say, preacher, that's just the feeling. Oh, you got to have a feeling to be able to know what a song's about. There has to be something take place for you to really sing. I remember they'd say, sing it from the heart. From the heart. And when I think about a song, I'm reminded that we must do it from the heart. If that's what really... So what was the problem? Why were they weeping rather than singing? Well, preacher, they didn't have any harps. Oh, yeah, they had harps. They'd hung them up. They were there. They were present. They had music. Music is a great part of it. I tell you, ain't many people can play like Toby can play a piano. But I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, Toby, you ain't heard nothing. Yes. I thought about the multitudes on top of multitudes that... You say, preacher, what are we going to sing? He said it would be a new song. David said he lifted my feet up out of the miry clay and he set them up on a rock. He established my goings, but he didn't stop there. He said he put a new song in my heart. And that song is something or another that it stirs up inside of us. I remember the first time I got to preach at a nursing home. I thought this woman that had rolled into the room where that we were having our services was amening me. So I was preaching just a little bit harder because, I mean, she was getting vocal and loud. And so when the service was concluded, somebody asked me, said, did you hear what she was saying? I said, no, I didn't. They said, it's a good thing. She was saying, sit down and let the singers back up. And that reminded me that sometimes singing is the way that God's gospel gets out. Folks, it is. With the children, sometimes we'll say, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know why they do that? It's with a song, but it's remembrance. Remembrance. Be able to remember. I tell you, it does us all good when we get up in the morning to say, Lord, You're good. And You love me and I love You. You used to after every business meeting, because I had a few, Brother Byron, that was maybe like a lawyer and they'd have their minutes, you know, rolled out in such a way they could trick an old country preacher like me into voting or having something on the floor that really ought to be on the floor to start with. But I'll never forget, after a time or two of that, God had me to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. After every business meeting since then, I think I've sung that because He's kept me out of the hot house and kept me where I need to be when His call. It's just been because of His love. And then the mercy that old sinner man asked for, he said, for you and I to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy. Do you know that's what we need most today is mercy? Our nation needs mercy. Our people needs mercy. I pray God have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We forgot You. I know that. And you're probably offended by that. If you're not, I would have done called this thing to a halt. I tell you, if I'd have been in God's shoes, I'd have done said enough's enough, boys. But patience is God's timing. It's learning God's timing. See, we really, and I saw a sign yesterday, when we start singing about God, we need to sing about His power, too. It said on the front of that little church, it said, you need a lifeguard. Ours walks on water. I like that because I tell you what He'll do. Solomon's song said He comes skipping. He come climbing, jumping over the mountain. When Solomon began to sing about His love, what it was the church and the bride and the groom, and they were having a conversation back and forth, and it just got sweeter and sweeter. And what the church finally was doing to say, I want you to kiss me. I want your intimate love. I want you to get closer. And you know, the Holy Spirit does us that way. Not just introduces us to Him, but there's no other to go to. One of Mother's favorite songs was this, If It Wasn't for the Lord, Tell Me What Would I Do? Tell me what would I do? Oh, tell me what would I do? And in the words of that song, it said, He's the water in a thirsty land. He's the bread in a starving land. He's my rock and my shelter. He holds me by the hand. I remember that He's everything to me. I believe really we have to reach that state in our life to where He becomes everything to us. As I get older, I realize that that as David said, I was once young and now I'm old. But I remember that the righteous are never forsaken, nor his seed ever begging for bread. You see somebody begging, they ain't in the place where they need to be. I'll promise you that. They're not in the place where they need to be because God's seed, God gives a song in the midnight hour. God gives a song in the morning. God keeps us singing as we go along. And I thought of this today, and I'll close. It said that I wait on the Lord. My soul waiteth on the Lord. I sometimes think, as Martha and Mary did, that, Lord, you're 4 days late. I mean, it's already dead. You know, really and truly, He says, hey, don't you worry about that. I got this. I'm still on the throne. So how do you need to respond when the world goes haywire? You don't just need to weep. You need to sing. Mirth is something represented, and it said that they required of us mirth. As you would joy, or sometimes Jesus represented with wine. And wine is, though, sometimes represented as things that this world, man makes. Man can come up with the means. But when you get to where Jesus changes this thing, oh, it's the best. It's joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. The half, not even been told. I see Nehemiah, he said, let's get up and rebuild this place. Because he said, we used to have some awful good times in there. Let's build these gates back up. Let's get them strong again. There was a water gate on the thing. I noticed that they didn't say anything about them repairing that. You know why? We don't need changes. They no need to change it. They repaired a lot of things. The fountain gate. What a precious thing it is to be able to have this fountain that flows from the throne of God into our hearts, that we have the Spirit that is so very, very real in our lives. I'm grateful today for the Lord's song. I'm glad that I can sing His song in a desert land. I said this, and I close with this. If you looked at these verses, it would say He is good. He does great wonders. He has made the heavens and the earth. He smote Egypt, the firstborn. Be reminded that He's still in charge. That He's still in charge. He brought us out of Israel, out of Egypt. He brought us across the Red Sea, He said. He smote the great kings. He gave us their land for heritage. I'm so glad that when I stop and I remember these things, I was looking this morning, and I thought I might have preached, changed my sermon, but Matthew chapter 5 is the way to be if you with your attitude. But it encompasses mercy and being merciful. It encompasses the things that you need to live in a world that we live in the way you need to be in order to be blessed. Oh, I'm glad when I remember how good the Lord is, that He's redeemed us from our enemies. I love to sing songs about I'm redeemed, don't you? And when I got saved, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I tell you, I could shout it and sing it through eternity because it blessed my soul and changed me. Somebody told me this past week they got saved, and they said the world's different now. I said, well, what it is, it's your vision. Yeah, it's your vision because it's changed because you're looking at it through different eyes. Sometimes we get to looking through man's eyes. Hey, the Bible don't teach you to do that way. Ecclesiastes will put you there. He'd say it's vanity of vanities because it's through man's eyes. But I tell you the truth, when you look through God's eyes, how great thou art. Lord, I stand in ultimate sometimes when I think of your greatness. He gives food for all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of heaven for his mercy endureth forever. How long is that, preacher? I don't know. Somebody said if a little bluebird gets on a 9-foot or 10-foot granite rock and he comes by every 1,000 years, flutters his wing on that granite rock, every 1,000 years he comes by and he'll flutter and touch that granite rock. Finally, when that granite rock is wore away to nothing, eternity's just begun. You can't really comprehend it. I don't know no way to compare eternity for it's forever. Forever. When he saved me forever. I may never make it back to another homecoming barn. I don't know when the Lord will call. But I do know this, when he calls, I'll fly away. Macy told me, he said, whenever the last song I want to sing is I'll Fly Away. You know what they done when Macy got bad? They put him in up here at St. Mary's Hospital. You know what room number he was in? 333. When you look in your hymn book, you know what that hymn book is? I'll Fly Away. I thought about that a lot of times in my life. Hey, God loves his saints. He loves his children. You think he's going to give you a snake when you ask him for a piece of bread? You think he's going to give you a serpent? You think he's going to give you something another that's bad? My own favorite book is Romans 8. And the song starts out this way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, but walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It ends with this. There is no separation from the love of Jesus Christ. It's not heights, nor depths, nor things present, nor things to come. Not anything can separate us from the love of God. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. How marvelous and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Thank you, Brian, so much. We'll turn it back over to the pastor. And I appreciate you today. And I appreciate the love. I appreciate friends and family that come today. What a blessing to be able to be in the house of the Lord. Maybe we should give an invitation. Do you feel that way? Could you get a song, Byron? And there may be somebody here that don't know Jesus. Somebody told me, you Baptist preachers don't have any authority or right to give invitation. No, we don't, but the Holy Spirit does. If it's worked in somebody's heart and he's saying, I want you to go down there and pray, I'll be here all day long if it takes. That's the reason why, that's our purpose for still being here, is that there's one more that's lost. The worst thing in the world that could be wrong with this world would be for people to be lost and nobody looking for them. If you ever got lost and nobody looking for you, one of the things you do always want to think back is, surely somebody knows where I am. Surely somebody would send help my way. And so if you're here today, there's help on the way. He's here. I felt him whenever that the joiners were singing a while ago. I thought, Lord, I'm so glad you're still here today. You hadn't changed one bit. I feel young right now. It kind of changes. You get Holy Spirit comes, you go bear hunting with a switch. It changes everything about you. It's just blesses your soul, move your heart. Let's stand, if you would, Brother Byron.
379. 379.